thanks for tuning in to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Sao Paulo Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen, and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risks all the time. And by being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, guys, so we are back for the review of the 2024 Sao Paulo Grand Prix, not the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Oh, okay.
It used to be the Brazilian Grand Prix, right? I feel like it was, but they were very sure to say multiple times that it is the Sao Paulo Grand Prix. For
this. Because the Sao Paulo, the city, pay a huge chunk, well, a good chunk of the promotion fee to stage the race. And so they said we should call it Sao Paulo.
Merchandising.
You always follow the money.
Yes.
They're not opening the door for the Rio Grand Prix or the Brasilia Grand Prix or something else.
F1 the flamethrower. But yeah, so really the only news coming into the weekend was that I guess Kevin was sick, and so Ali was filling in for him, and because it's a sprint race weekend, it just seemed very unlikely that Kevin, even if he were to get better by the end of the first day, that he would be able to get in, because he'd have no practice, and it would be right into, I guess, qualifying for the Grand Prix. He wouldn't even be able to start for the sprint race. So, so Ali was in for the weekend for Haas.
Not is he supposed action. To race this weekend?
Ollie?
Yeah.
Or Kevin?
Yeah, Ollie.
You mean the weekend, the next race weekend, or for this one?
No, was he supposed to race like an F2 or anywhere else? Or he
I imagine
just...
so.
No, right? They don't have F2 this weekend.
Okay.
The F2 circus doesn't get a Brazil. I think they don't really do much in this kind of 3 week, you know, with Austin, Mexico and Brazil. I think it's all entirely off. And then they don't do, I don't believe they do Vegas, but then I think Qatar and Abu Dhabi, they finish up their season. So they have like a huge, you think F1 has a huge chunk of time off. The F2 guys have like a real, you know, a real block of twiddling their thumbs.
Interesting. All right. Well, I mean, for the practice session, there wasn't any action, but everything after the practice session was pretty action-packed. So let's jump into sprint qualifying first. Off the bat, I mean, Checo once again not able to get into the second part of sprint qualifying, as well as Lewis, Lewis wasn't able to get into SQ3, just missing out in P11. So you know, brutal from those two guys getting knocked out in the second session of qualifying. But Oscar was able to take another sprint pole in Brazil, and Lando right next to him and Charles and Max right behind them. So starting off the weekend looking good for the papaya guys,
the good
right?
guys.
Always looking for Lando to make up ground, right, Jason?
Absolutely.
No, but I mean, Lando was flying. I mean, he was super quick, but, you know, Oscar just pipped him in the last session. But, this, you know, in the dry, the McLaren was, you know, clearly the class of the field on this circuit.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Yes, no. I thought the same thing until... It looked like, okay, maybe not as much. You know, I know it kind of got a little bit thrown out of order. I think at the end, Lando was, he had set his lap early, right? Yeah. And then Oscar and Max and some of the other guys finished after. So it could have been rubber building up or whatever. But for most of the time, I was like, oh yeah, Lando's crushing it this weekend. And then all of a sudden it was like, maybe not.
Yeah. But I believe that the McLaren's times were, I don't know, like 0.3 off of the guys behind them. So it was going to be an interesting race. But we did have, oh, and also Ali once again filling in for a driver and starting in the top 10 for a race. Obviously, only the top 8 score in this one. And he wasn't even ultimately able to get a lap in the third part of the sprint qualifying because he only did one lap and ended up getting deleted. So, but still, pretty impressive from Ollie, who is obviously going to be in that team next year. And, you know, showing that he is worth the chance at the very least of being in the sport. So great for him. And then no, I guess Pierre also in the top 10, and Liam, and a lot of surprises. Pierre, Liam, Albon, and Ollie all able to make it into the top 10 for the sprint. So, yeah, good on them. I guess the Aston Martins doing so poorly helps out with that. Not that they've been great recently, but they both ended up starting from the pit lane for the sprint as well as Joe. So let's see. That is really it for the pre-race stuff for the sprint. And then we jump right into it. It looked like Lando had a better spot or a better start off the line, but Oscar surprisingly aggressively moved over to block him and keep the lead going into turn one. I think you know, the pundits and myself included were surprised he was so aggressive right off the line.
I'd be interested to be in one of those debriefs to see what the conversations really sound like between Oscar and Lando, because you know, you just hear the frustration in Lando. I think at one point here he's like, yeah, whatever. It's just, you know, they try to keep it all cool looking, but some of these kind of moves, I mean, it's lap one, turn one. I didn't expect them to just get out of the way and let Lando through, but you know, it is just, there's definitely more there than we are privy to.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then Max ended up locking into turn one and almost crashed into the back of Lando at the start of the race, but was just able to not touch him. And I would have been so livid if that had been how this race started, but they did not end up crashing into each other. So that was great. On lap three into turn one, Max tries to go around the outside of Charles, but Charles was able to keep it on the inside and, you know, stay where he is for the time being. But Charles was able to get back within a second of Lando ahead of him, by the end of lap five. And then Oscar just kind of started pulling away a bit and then getting reeled back in by the team for a while, but it was just the four of them pulling away for the start of the race, and different guys getting fastest laps. Max on lap seven got the fastest lap and is then challenging Charles into turn four, but once again, Charles is able to hold him up. You know, the closest we've seen from the front in a sprint race in quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, it was about a second, well, just around about a second, just under a second between Lando and Oscar the whole time. And it was then a case of how far back was Charles, because you knew that it was going to come at some point. They had to switch Lando and Oscar, but it was the gap that was just being maintained by Charles meant that it was never comfortable enough that they could switch the places and then not have Oscar come into danger of being overtaken by Charles. So Charles Leclerc had a really, really strong race, really keeping up to the back of them, making life really, really awkward. There were a couple of times during the course of those laps where it was maybe just enough that he could get out, and if they made the move at the right point, say at the end of, you know, going into turn four, that they could maintain a 1 second gap to Charles, but there's like a one or two lap window where that was possible. And so it was always going to be a bit dicey, and you could see it stretching later and later into the race and wondering, is this when it should happen? Is this when it should happen? But it didn't. And, you know, as time started wearing on, it's like, well, when's it going to be? Because the gap at that point, at various points, was that Charles was now getting really close up to the back and he was getting DRS as well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We heard Max's engineer, maybe even a little bit earlier than this, say, because he was really getting aggressive every single time they were going around, and his engineer was just like, wait until you have a moment where you're sure that you're going to be able to pass. We don't hear that from that team, you know, very, very often, especially talking to Max. But let's see.
It's surprising because you typically, these races at Interlagos or Sao Paulo are usually exciting with lots going on, but it's a really hard track to pass at. You know, like Max's car probably was much faster than Charles's, and he was struggling to get around. I mean, Charles, I would say, drove a great sprint race. I don't think he had a faster car, clearly, and he was able to hold him off for quite a while. So, it's just a tough track to get around, even with that long, well, straight, whatever you want to call it, oval.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And then we heard Lando's engineer say, you know, they're happy keeping the positions until the very last lap, which, of course, made me nervous. You never know what's going to happen. And then ultimately on lap 18, Charles struggles through the S's and Max is able to take advantage and pass down the straight into turn four and take P3. And he pulls away from Charles right away, showing how much he was struggling in the dirty air behind him and it was holding him up. But I don't know if he would have been able to make the move if it hadn't been for Charles really making a mistake. But that's what happened, and Max was able to get through and try and chase down the McLarens. And then a few laps later, Nico ultimately parks off the track, and he was trying to get it in an area where it might not bring out a full safety car, which it didn't in the end. It was still too dangerous for them not to bring out a virtual safety car, but nullified the race. And I was hoping this was going to last until the end of the race, but that was not the case. Let's see. And then finally, as the VSC comes in, or hold on a sec, I must have it down in here wrong, because Oscar wouldn't have been able to let Lando go by. Was that before the virtual safety car or after? That was, he let him by after the safety car, right?
I wish I could help you, but I remember, I think I told you guys at the end of the race, I'm like, there was so much that happened this weekend. Yeah. It's so hard to even remember all of the details.
Yeah, but this is where Red Bull fans would say, it's fixed. They waited so long. They, you know, Hülkenberg was out of the car before they put the VSC, and it did take a while, I must admit. But it was, man, the timing between, well, basically, I don't know whether Hülkenberg was off the track at that point, if they realized it and just said, switch places right now, because it was like they had to do it right then, because otherwise the VSC would have come in, everyone would have relatively closed up, I guess, but it would have meant that they didn't really know if there was going to be another lap at that point, I guess.
Yeah.
But it did seem like it was, I mean, compared to most of the previous laps, they didn't have much of a gap at all leading up to that. Like, they at least had some gap to work with when they finally did it. I know it was still put Oscar under pressure, but it, like, any earlier probably would have lost them, you know, well, we'll get to that part, but you know, it would have been more difficult if they did it earlier. Let's say that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the virtual safety car ended on the very last lap, and then right before it ends, Max almost touches or does touch Oscar, but was way, like we were saying, way closer to him than they were before the safety car came out. The positions didn't end up changing during the race. They were able to hold it off for a McLaren 1-2 with Lando taking the win that he said. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he wasn't happy with the result, or he didn't feel proud of the result, or whatever it was. But still gaining points on Max, who finished in P3, but ultimately did get a 5-second penalty. And I think Charles was like just under 5 seconds behind, like 4.5 seconds behind Max. So,
yeah, when you look at when the VSE was deployed, you could see how far Max was behind Oscar. And as they were going down between turn three and turn four, as they go past the VSC sign, Max's front wheels are in front of Oscar's rear wheels. So yeah, the virtual safety car was deployed, and Max had tried to predict when it was to get a run on him, but he'd just gone too early.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a slam dunk penalty.
Yeah. So, I mean, the sprint race is not as big point differentials between the places, but still making up 3 points in the sprint race. The momentum going McLaren's way into the feature race part of the weekend. And let's see who, I think Pierre ended up in the points in the sprint race. Yeah, Pierre and Liam ended up with getting points for their teams, both of them trying to stay ahead and get ahead of Williams. So, yeah, great races for them. And that is it for really the sprint race stuff. So, going into qualifying, obviously it was supposed to be the second session on Saturday, but it ended up downpouring right before the qualifying session started, and it was raining throughout the whole time. So after like 3 hours of 15-minute increments of delaying, and then it just got too dark and they had to postpone it to Sunday morning. And I don't know what's the time difference between the East Coast and Brazil. I didn't think it was really that much, but
it's like it's two or three hours. It moved because we had the clocks changing too, around a bit. But yeah, it's 2 or 3 hours, I think.
So they started really, really early in the morning, it seems like.
They moved 7:30 local time.
They moved it up really early because they predicted more rain later on in the day. So they wanted to give themselves the maximum amount of time to get the whole thing in. So yeah.
Did they move the race time up as well?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. I didn't realize that. But yeah, so let's jump into this qualifying because it was one of the craziest qualifying sessions I have ever watched. So right off the bat in Q1, Franco, who is essentially the home racing driver for this weekend, Brazil and Argentina being so close, and the stands were packed with Argentina and Franco fans, but he ultimately crashes in Q1. So that was disappointing for him, and that brought out a red flag for the session, the first red flag for qualifying. And then Lewis, for the second week in a row, is not able to make it out of Q1 for the Grand Prix qualifying. So just three straight qualifying sessions that Lewis has been awful in. So disappointing for him. And Mercedes just hasn't looked great the past few weeks. I guess George did get a good... well, I guess I won't go into that yet. Anyway, and then ultimately halfway through Q2, Carlos crashes out and brings out the second red flag of qualifying. And luckily there was enough time for people to come back out, but then with 2 minutes left in Q2, Lance crashes, and that is now the third red flag in qualifying in just the first two sessions. And Max and Checo at the time were going out for their final laps, but I think this was also a time when it looked kind of suspicious. It took them a while for, is this where it was? When it took them a while for them to actually bring out the red flag. But if you actually looked at the timing, if they had brought it out pretty much immediately when the crash had happened, they still would not have had enough time to get all the way around and start a lap.
So I think I saw somewhere that Stroll was trying to drive the car back, like that maybe it wasn't going to be like left on the circuit, so he was trying to get it back to the pits, so they were sort of waiting to see if he could do that. But in the end, that failed, so I don't know. It's tough, but yeah, they just ran out of time.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to everybody at some point, right?
Sometimes you need a little bit of luck, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, especially this weekend, we're only in qualifying, and there's just so many things that have happened, and you know, you can't, the engineers are amazing. They make so many great predictions, and we never hear about the calls they make, but when they miss them, we hear about all of them. And even when they don't miss them, it's just bad luck, bad timing, or whatever, you hear about it. But I mean, what do you do with all this? You know, how do you make the right call? When do you send them out? Traffic, no traffic. I mean, obviously Red Bull waited to send Max out, and they were on the back foot and they just got caught out. What are you going to do?
Yeah. And then Max took a new engine part or floor part. I can't remember what part he took, but he was getting a 5 second or a 5 grid drop penalty for,
I think it was a gearbox.
Yeah.
But yeah, 5 spot grid penalty. I don't remember where his initial time was before the drop, but ultimately he ended up starting the race in
17th. Yeah, so he qualified 17th. 12th, and with the 5 grid spot penalty, that put him down to 17th.
Yeah. So I was extremely excited about that.
you love it when a plan comes together. Huh? It's all lining right. up.
Yeah, absolutely. And Oscar didn't have to crash into him to do it. So that was great too. But it looked like, I mean, we've been talking about it. We just need one race where Lando's able to score some good points and Max isn't going to score any or very little. And during Q2, it was looking like this was the weekend for that. But yeah, only McLaren, Aston, and RB were the teams with two cars through to Q2. McLaren, I guess you'd expect that, but Aston and RB, definitely not with the way that they've been driving recently. So great for them. And in Q3, with 7 minutes left in the session, now Alonso crashes into the wall, bringing out the 4th red flag in qualifying, and both of the Aston Martins have crashed in this qualifying session. So, you know, pretty nuts. And not what you see from Alonso very often. So, and then, yeah. After the red flag, the cars really seemed to be struggling. Oscar had a spin. Yuki had a little moment. And then ultimately, Albon had an awful crash right after he had put in a provisional pole time that immediately got knocked down. But he was in P2 and then completely destroys the car and brings out the 5th and final red flag of the qualifying session. So,
yeah, I mean, at that point, you knew, I mean, you saw the size of the crash, and there's only going to be, what, 3-4 hours to fix it. You kind of knew he was not going to be lining up on the start, which is super unfortunate because that was a heck of a lap.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then Lando ultimately was able to take the 5th pole for him in the last 7 races, with George lining up right next to him and Yuki and Ocon right behind them. Just a crazy grid order. Right behind those guys, we had Liam right behind him. Obviously, Albon's time ended up being in P7, but we found out pretty shortly after qualifying that there was no way they were going to be able to fix the car, and that was it, just like you said, Nick. But yeah, that was an eventful qualifying session. A lot went on and made for exciting prospects going into the race. Obviously, Max and Red Bull were complaining the whole entire time period between qualifying and the race. Max ended up cursing on air again. I don't know if he ended up getting another penalty for that, but or a fine for that. But yeah, they're obviously very disappointed. But like I said, they wouldn't have been able to get a time in even if they had brought a red flag out immediately. Did you guys see any of the pre-race stuff? Did you see Ted Kravitz driving the Alpine F1 car?
No, I heard, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, I mean, that Renault always used to do this, I think it was called iRace or something like that, where they had like a 3 or 4 year old F1 car. And you'd go to Paul Ricard, it was like 15 or 20 grand, if I recall. And you'd get 3 laps. And you go in and you kind of do a few smaller cars. And then you got to go in an F1 car. And I think the one that he drove was the very last of that program, because it was before they switched it to because once the turbo hybrid engines came in, the powertrain was just far too expensive to maintain that program. But you used to be able to go and do it. And I think they discontinued that program in 2006. Yeah, 2016. So I think now they just pull it out every now and again, just for dignitaries and the like. I didn't see the thing, but it was always something that I wish, you know, 10 years ago when they were still doing it. I was obviously a lot poorer back then, but you know, if I'd have had a spare bit of cash in the pocket to kind of take a trip down to the south of France and do it. I don't, whereabouts was he when he did it?
He was at Paul Ricard.
He was at Paul Ricard. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah,
you have to go to Marseille for that, which is a
big deal.
But you know, I take that trip any day.
Yeah, to drive an F1 car, absolutely. And he had Ocon there, who was coaching him through it. Apparently, he had been doing training for, you know, at least a month or so in an F4 car, I believe, before he made the step up to F1. So, but yeah, it was cool. He said exactly, I think, what Jeremy Clarkson said when he drove a Renault for the first time, and it was like, that was one of the best things I've ever done. I will never do it again. so yeah, pretty cool from them. Like I said, 45 minutes before race time is when the news officially dropped that Albon would not be racing after the qualifying crash, and that Carlos would be starting from the pit lane from this race, obviously also having a crash in qualifying. So unfortunate for Carlos, and that is it for the...
Yeah, but Carlos was going to be lining up 19th anyway, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Or what, D? Hang on. No, wait. 13th. 12th. Yeah. With Max's penalty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But with Carlos dropping to the pit lane, because right, Max would have dropped behind him with his penalty, but then Carlos dropped to the pit lane, so Max got to move another spot forward. And on the formation lap, Lance spins out and ends up getting himself beached on the formation lap, which caused a whole bunch of chaos. All the drivers ended up lining up, and then I guess, what was it that they said? Race start aborted, right?
Yeah,
is that what it was?
Aborted start. And in the rules, it says, for an aborted start, return to the grid. Right? So, I don't know, maybe Lando was just a bit confused as to what that actually meant. But he started going around on another formation lap. And the two guys behind him, who was that, George and Yuki, they followed him because it's like, yeah, I don't know what to do. Oh, that guy went. Let's follow that guy.
Yeah.
Esteban stayed where he was. And I don't really know what happened behind that. I think Yuki. Yeah. Anyway, but point is, there was a start infringement that they didn't judge at all during the race. And they then, you know, it was going to be investigated or like discussed with the drivers afterwards to see what they had to say for themselves.
Yeah. So yeah, I had that looming over my head over the whole entire race, wondering what was going to come of that. Already starting off poorly, which looked like it should be a great race for McLaren, but on the second formation lap, ultimately, Lando says that it's starting to spit rain, as he said, as they're going up to the grid. But on the race start, George was able to have an amazing start, Lando having another poor start off the line, and George was able to take the lead into turn one, which was frustrating. Oscar was battling with Liam, who lost a place to Charles. There's a lot of battling in there with Alonso as well, who got squeezed by Liam. And then Oscar was able to ultimately take his spot back where he started. But Checo spins off, but was able to bring it back on track towards the end of the lap. But he fell all the way to the back of the race. But Max made up 7 places on the first lap.
Well, so let's just pause right there. Well, first of all, a couple of things to say about this. Have you seen the in-car footage from Checo's car going around turn 3?
No.
Max finds a line through there that just takes him by like 3 people. It's just,
yeah,
he found a line around turn 3.
Oh, yeah, I did see that one, yeah.
That just, no one else went there. And he just made it work. And you could just see.
He could have had Lewis also. He checked up because he figured Lewis probably didn't see him and didn't think that somebody would be passing him on the outside of the exit.
Yeah.
But he could have easily taken Lewis there, and Lewis did leave him the room.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
But what I will say is that he didn't actually make up 7 spots because...
He made up 5, right?
Well, one of them was...
Lance.
And one of them was Carlos.
Right.
And where was... where would Albon have been? Oh, he would have been further up. So, but still, it was like he wasn't really starting on 17th. He was actually starting on 14th.
Yeah.
So he made
but it.
And they were all
regardless.
On yeah. I mean, it was fine. I don't want to poo-poo Mark's choice of outer garment.
It was fine.
On this.
It was ridiculous.
It was awesome. Going around the outside of turn 3 was awesome. I mean, we give Max some shit on this podcast, but the way that he just had that confidence and feel that no one else had is really what marks him ahead of pretty much everyone else on the grid. He just knew that there was going to be grip. He was not nervous about it. He just went. And
yeah, no corrections in the wheel. Like, he just drove. It wasn't, you know, he didn't look like he was pushing the limits of the grip. I mean, it's lap one. Why would you?
Yeah.
But yeah, he just drove, went to the outside, and literally just flew by. I don't remember who the drivers were. But I will step back to turn one, because similarly, not that Charles passed 3 cars, but his inside move on turn one there was very nice. I got a little bit nervous that somebody was going to close in on him, not realizing that he would be there, but he made a great move to get ahead of, who'd he pass? Liam and Oscar?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I think so. Or
right?
Oscar started maybe? Behind him. So
Liam and Ocon.
Yeah, whoever it was, it was, you know, definitely a nice move that he made going on the inside of turn one to get where he was.
Yeah.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com. And the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's COOPSF1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
Yeah, so George immediately starts pulling away from Lando. I mean, my confidence was not in a good place one lap into the race with Lando moving backwards and Max moving up so much. But ultimately, Lando was able to take the fastest lap on lap 4 and get back around 1 second of of George, and ultimately takes another fastest lap on the next lap to get within a second of George. But into turn one, Max, late braking, is able to get by Pierre and already into P9, and then on the next lap passes Alonso, so he's into P8 on lap six, and also takes the fastest lap, and then he's behind Oscar, and I'm just hoping that Oscar, I think I said this in our spoiler chat, that you know, we need Oscar to do what Checo did at Abu Dhabi in 2021. But yeah, that did not.
But Max, I mean, Max had such.
He did the exact opposite.
Yeah, Max had such confidence in his car, like, to have the grip for that, for those overtakes in the first corner that nobody else thought was there, that he just.
Yeah, just like he had that line on the outside of three at the start. He knew that tighter line on turn one was there, and he was the only one that put it there. And he just.
Everybody else tiptoed around it.
Yeah.
It must be a tricky corner because it, you know, there's quite a little bit of elevation change in Brazil. Like, you go uphill to the start, finish straight, and then it goes straight downhill again for that first corner. So that's bad enough with the road going away from you. But in the wet, you must be, you know.
Yeah, well, the entry to turn one is nice because you've got that banking that helps you get down to the apex. But as soon as you get to apex, you really have to struggle to get over to the left to set yourself up for that turn two exit and get a good exit for turn three. But again, he looked so comfortable. Like, you thought for sure he was going to blow past the apex when he made that pass, and he just made the turn, kept on going. I mean, I didn't hear any interviews of Oscar's thoughts about that. I'm sure somebody must have asked him, but I'd love to hear what he had to say about that pass, because, I mean, there was no defense, but he had no clue.
You would have wanted more. You would have wanted more from Oscar.
Why didn't the engineers say anything to him is what I don't understand. Like, he just made two passes at the exact same spot, the exact same way, just three laps before that, and they don't go cover Max off on the inside on turn one. I mean, they didn't tell Lando not to go at the aborted start at the lap either. Like, what are they doing in there?
I mean, I totally agree with that, because, I mean, in sim racing, amateur level stuff, we literally do, like, we have all that stuff worked out. And I'm always, same thing you're saying, Jason, like, how does this Formula One team not literally have all these things covered off? How are they not seeing what's about to happen?
Yeah. I saw Max lining Oscar up. I'm screaming at the TV like, Oscar, take the inside line. Take the inside line. He just lets him go right by.
Yeah.
Crazy. But yeah, Max, lap 10 is into P6. Crazy. And then lap 12, into the lap, Lewis locks up, goes wide. He's able to bring it back on. But Franco is coming full speed behind him and was able to take the inside line and make the pass on Lewis. Really impressive stuff from Franco. I guess this is where ultimately we hear that the penalties will be decided after the race. So I'm, you know, fatutsed about that. And then on lap 16, Max has been behind George for quite a bit. It just looked like he didn't have the pace down the straight, but the front two, George and Lewis, were, 8.5 seconds ahead of Yuki. So I guess Max was
Max was at the back of the Yuki people, train, right? Which was, I guess it was Yuki, Ocon, Charles.
And Max, yeah.
And Max, because Max was seventh, I think, at this point, right?
Yeah. Or sixth, yeah. The 2 liters and then those four. So then we hear a few laps later, lap 21, that Mercedes might have some sort of braking issue, which isn't making it so Lando is able to get by George, but might explain why Lewis has been struggling as much as he was. I can't remember how many it was, but he had dropped quite a few spots here.
At this point, like, I know we haven't talked much about Mercedes, but it wasn't that long ago that they made this huge leap forward in performance and their car suddenly looked like they were going to be fighting at the top for the rest of the season. And now lately they just have fallen off a cliff with so many little things. Like, their car just does not look like it's performing. I mean, the fact that George is where he is at this point in the race is pretty amazing considering where Lewis is. Yeah. But it really just seems like they have a lot of issues in the core of how the car performs. I mean, all the bouncing and it was very surprising to see, I guess, where George was, but also just how poorly the car seemed to be handling.
Yeah. But it looked like Ferrari was paying attention to how Max was making his moves, because when Max tried to pass Charles into turn one, Charles did take the inside line and was able to keep his spot through the S's. Max did try again later in the lap, but Charles was able to squeeze him out and hold on to P5 for the moment. Carlos ends up going wide and goes off the track as well, but he's able to bring it back on. But he was really close to Lewis, who is coming by. It just looked like Carlos just kept holding it to the left when Lewis was flying by on the left side of the track. I mean, it looked like they barely missed each other, but they did not end up coming together there, which was good. Yuki had a little moment that Ocon looked like he was almost going to be able to get by, but Yuki was able to keep it. But they were still pretty far behind George and Lando, 10 seconds behind them. And then ultimately, Ferrari was the first one of the leading teams to come into pit. They brought Charles in. I would have thought, I think they were talking about a little bit on the broadcast too, that I would have thought they would have brought Carlos in first because he was so far back and you might as well test how the new tires are working on him, but that's not how they decided to do that.
It did seem like a poor decision at the time. Yeah. I mean, I think, like you said, they had just talked about usually the first car to come in is not, you don't want to be the first, you want to be the second or the third. And especially considering, I mean, it's not like Charles was in seventh or eighth. He was, running in the top five, and you take a chance like that. And clearly seeing that Max is the only person overtaking people, I was definitely concerned.
Yeah. It wasn't great, but on the next lap, we see Liam go off the track and falls all the way down to P9, but then we see a little later that it was he and Carlos came together. It was a pretty bad, he and Oscar came together, and Oscar ended up getting a 5-second penalty for that. And we did see later on that Oscar did go up to Liam and apologize for it. So,
yeah. Was it 5 or was it 10? Nice.
I think it was 5.
Yeah,
it could be.
Because I know by the end it was like a it could have been. I thought it was 10, but maybe it's 5. I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, there was a penalty involved, and at the end, Oscar said, "Yeah, it's a fair cop. That's that's fair enough." Which is
nice of him.
it was obvious, and he knew it was obvious, and so he said it was, and you got to respect him for not trying to back out it and trying to cover it. That's kind of what I was about to say, but didn't.
That was good. But Nico, who had just come out on new enters, ends up losing it into turn one on the next lap and brings out a virtual safety car, which Oscar, Alonso, Lewis, Carlos, and Checo all came in for. Nico was able to get it back going, it seemed at first, but then we saw that a bunch of stewards essentially lifted up the front end of the car to take it off the drain so that he could bring it back to the pits. So they told him he had to bring it back in and retire, but he did try and keep going.
Well, he was sitting, he drove it round, and he was sitting in the garage with everyone else when he got black flagged. I mean, I can't remember the last black flag we had. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I thought I saw a stat. Now I'm forgetting the year, but I feel like it was 17 years ago or something.
Jeez.
A long time ago.
Wow. Yeah, I can't remember any time seeing one. We saw a couple of meatball flags a few years ago, but yeah, I've never seen a black flag. But let's see. George and Lando also ended up coming in to pit. And just as they were entering the pit entry line, the VSC was ending. So as soon as they got to the moment where they're slowing down, it ends and they lose all the advantage that they were looking for. And Ocon, Max, and Pierre don't come into pit. So Ocon is leading the Sao Paulo Grand Prix.
I mean, this was the key moment, right, for these guys. Because did you guys see the chat that was going on between Russell and his engineer?
Oh yeah, they pit? I was going to ask the same. He's like, so Russell, stay out.
Yeah, Russell was basically saying the rain's getting heavier. They have to red flag this. Like, this is crazy. Like, just stay out. Like, they're going to red flag it in a minute. Like, don't pit now. And then ultimately they tell him to pit. I think he's still arguing with them, but he pits because that's what he's told him to do. But yeah, as you then saw, the rain just continued to get heavier and heavier.
Yeah. And then his engineer came on and said, red flag, red flag. George was like, ah, I told you.
Well, but it wasn't red flag for the rain though, was it?
Right.
So, you know, it's a little bit of like, you know,
yeah,
write the history, the victors write the history or whatever. But
yeah, but the thing is though, it's like you've got two rookies in Colapinto and Behrmann that have never driven an F1 car in a race in the rain, and the rain was getting heavier. So just, you know, there was a fair chance that there could be a red flag. I mean, granted, yeah, the more worn the inters get, you keep going, odds are you could be the one that triggers the red flag.
Right. Yes.
So you're always pushing that, but it just did seem pretty conservative on the part of both Mercedes and McLaren at that stage of the race.
There was five red flags in quali.
Yeah,
there was five red flags in quali. It was shocking.
Well, maybe, you know, I guess the virtual safety car was their first sniff at something like that. So when there's a safety car and you need to do a pit stop, you do a pit stop, right? So it was a virtual safety car, which is the lightest of those events. But
sure,
they took that opportunity anyway.
Well, Mercedes and McLaren didn't, because they were on about turn three when the VSC was deployed.
Well,
and they called them into the pits, and the VSC was ending as they were coming up to go into the pit lane. So they didn't even get the cheap stop after all of that. They got racing 20 whatever seconds that they were disadvantaged, and that, you know, obviously led, they gave up track position to Max, which is not the best idea at the best of times.
No. Lando was able to ultimately get by George after they made the pit, but a safety car comes out for the heavy rain. So
no, the safety car came out when Franco crashed.
No, Franco crashed under the safety car.
Yeah.
Oh, he did? Sorry, the red flag. Sorry. Yeah, my bad. Yeah. No, they did bring out the safety car for the rain, and I think that's where Russell maybe lost it in his helmet. Like, I told you.
Yeah. But then on lap 32, while the safety car is going, Franco crashes out for the second time in the weekend, which brings out the red flag. And you heard Lando say over the headset, he's like, that means those guys get free pit stops, right? And the engineer is just like, affirmative.
Yeah, just like you did in Brazil, Lando.
Yes.
Not Brazil, Miami, sorry.
We've already had bad luck for that. We don't get extra karma.
they put the shot of the Williams mechanic in the yeah. pit was just painful. I mean, those guys had just been put through the absolute ringer with Albon smashing up his car, and then to see Colapinto bin it and smash up another car.
They're just going to scoop it into the back of the truck and just go home.
Yeah,
he was like, Vegas. He was trying to like rip his like forehead off with his hand. He just didn't know what to do. I mean, tough. I don't know what's going to happen with Williams. There's lots of chat online. How much of it is true, I don't know. But yeah, there's a lot of money being spent on parts and there's a cost cap and blah, blah, blah. You know, are they going to be able to put all this stuff back together? They do have a little bit of time to sort it all out.
But I think it's no sandwiches for anyone in Williams hospitality.
The catering budget is going to take a hit. This sandwich has got been made with the ends of the bread. That's right. We're using the whole loaf.
Williams Hospitality is BYO.
Yes. And I don't know if you were, I watched the whole entire non-qualifying session coverage because it didn't end up happening, but they still had the whole like 2.5 hour session where qualifying was originally supposed to happen. And James Vowles was interviewed during that. And he's like, we pretty much have all the money that we can spend already planned for. And then
all of this crashes
happen after that.
Yeah. Just blow through the cost cap. Nothing happens. It's fine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. That's very true. So let's see, lap 33, obviously, because the red flag came out. So that's the next lap. As they are about to get racing, Ollie goes off and falls to the back of the grid as well. Lando goes wide on the next lap and ends up losing a place back to George. So George is in front of him again.
Yeah, Lando just trying too hard to make up spots. That was at the first corner, right?
Yeah.
The first corner where Max can find all the grip he wants.
Yeah.
Lando just goes sailing off on the right. I mean, ouch.
Yeah.
Should have gone left.
Should have stayed on. Jason, why didn't they tell him that all the grip was on the inside of the track?
I don't know. They've seen it happen over and over and over again. You'd think that they would figure that out. But yeah, and then a few laps later on lap 39, Carlos spins out just as the camera turns to him and he crashes into the barrier and yet another safety car.
It was a great overhead view from the helicopter of that crash as well, wasn't it? You just saw him spin off in the corner there.
Perfect timing. What is that now? Five drivers in the race have either crashed out or did not start the race. And then lap 43, the safety car is back in. And Max, once again, going down the inside of Ocon, is able to take the lead of the race just as Lando goes way wide again and loses two more spots and is behind Oscar now.
Should have stayed left.
Oh, no. They're not used to driving.
Learn.
They're not used to driving on left-hand, on anti-clockwise circuits. They're always used to going right, you know, mostly.
I guess these left-hand turns. I mean, and they didn't tell Ocon that Max is going to go up the inside because he'd done it every other... It's like the same thing. It's like, were they not watching what we were all watching?
Lando, turn one is a left-hand turn.
Yes. Just awful. Just awful. Leading the race and now in P7th. So,
How many mistakes has Max made so far in this race? Are we keeping a tally? You know, Lando's gone off, Bierman spun, Sainz has binned it.
Two all weekend at this point. He locked up into turn one of the sprint qualifying, and he steered off. Yeah.
Not much.
Just awful there.
Just awful, as he says. Just awful. No mistake. Another black with no mistakes from Max. Awful.
Awful. But yeah, and then Alonso goes way wide and goes all the way to the back of the grid. Just everybody's struggling other than Max.
Yes.
A few laps later, Oscar lets Lando by. I wrote in here, but we would need a miracle in this race with there to be any chance of Lando to get ahead of Max, as he is pulling away at the front with already over a 3 second gap to Ocon behind him. Just a few laps later, Max takes the fastest lap, and on the last three laps, he has now over a 5 second lead over Ocon. So he is just,
I mean, at this point, it's like seven consecutive fastest laps.
He just pounded him in at the end of the race. Yeah.
And again, in a groove. The same theme. Not, it doesn't look like he's trying. He's just driving the car.
Yeah.
And it was fastest lap after fastest lap.
Yeah. And Lando struggling behind Charles, not able to do anything. I mean, he must, at this point in the race, he must just want to pack it up and go home, but he still needs to take as many points as he can. Oscar goes for a moment, but is able to keep it going around the outside of Yuki. I guess Oscar was ahead of Yuki at this point, so he loses it a bit, and then Yuki is able to take the inside line of turn one and get into P7. So let's see. Checo is all the way at the back of the race and tries to get by Liam into turn one, but doesn't have enough room to make the pass. But on the next lap, he tries again and he uses the inside line, but they did slightly touch, but he was able to keep P9, and then Checo goes wide and Lewis is able to get by him. So
yeah, Liam and Checo coming together again. They find the same bit of track
for each other.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at this point Liam is elbows out on Checo because he's just trying to muscle him out of the Red Bull seat. So it's just what, a lap or two from the end, just knocking Checo out of the points is sort of, you know, really rubber stamping Checo's season. And it's like, at this point, I can't see Checo back next year.
Yeah, it's just bad on top of bad on top of bad for Checo. And Max now, lap 64, has a 15 second lead to Ocon. So unless he crashes on his own, he has this race in the bag. And then Checo tries to late break into turn one to try and get by Lewis and into the points, but isn't able to make it stick. He did have one more try on the next lap, but wasn't able to make it happen. Max was able to win by almost 20 seconds from, I mean, could you say he started in P17, I guess.
I mean, it's official 17, but yes.
He started in the 17th grid spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. He passes Michael Schumacher with the most consecutive days leading the championship, which is nuts. And Alpine, out of nowhere, gets a double podium.
I mean, the three of those guys just drove amazingly well. Like, no mistakes on a track that was just all over the place as far as grip and, you know, what you could do on it, and people, you know, racing in those kind of conditions. Neither of them made any kind of significant mistake when other people were all over the place. I mean, like you said, Bierman pirouetting constantly, but you know, as a rookie, you got to give him some leeway. But plenty of other guys that have got a lot more experience having trouble. But those three, the Alpines and Max, They deserved it. They did.
Yeah, I mean, before we get to Max, Alpine, my goodness. My goodness. They literally won the lotto this weekend.
It's like $50 billion if it stays this way, the difference between sixth and ninth.
And I mean, the upgrade that they brought to Gasly's car, I can't remember if it was one or two races ago, but his car started performing, and you saw the disparity between him and Ocon, and now Ocon gets that upgrade this weekend. Rain or no rain, clearly it must have done something, because I can't imagine their car would have been there. Yes, they had the red flag luck, but I mean,
you know,
Ocon, two cars on the podium.
Qualified fourth.
He qualified fourth
and was leading the race for a good chunk. Obviously got picked off by Max, who knew that inside line. Pierre started 14th, finished third. So we're talking about a great drive from Max. You know, he's obviously in a Red Bull. I think Pierre's drive from 14th to fourth just is as, not quite as good, but it's up there as well. I give both of those two guys 10 out of 10. I'd give Ocon a 9 out of 10 for letting Max by.
Yeah, I mean, they did get a little bit lucky. Let's be honest, guys.
You're getting a little bit of a bias from Lando's interview, because Lando's interview was all luck. And
I didn't even see it. Is that true? I couldn't watch it. I had to turn off the race. As soon as it was over, I turned it off.
Your mascara. It wasn't luck. There was elements of coincidence, luck, whatever you want to call that, of course, with the red flags. But I mean, there were so many things that happened that it could have swung either way. True. And we all know luck comes to the prepared. Max drove an unbelievable race, like literally a race for the ages kind of thing that people will talk about for his legend. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. As much as I can't stand him, you got to give him the credit. It was an unbelievable race for him.
I also can't stand him. I know I'm touting the Red Bull because when I first got into Formula One, everybody hated Red Bull. Max wasn't even there at the time. It was Vettel. And I always just was like, I don't know why people hate them. Like, they're really good. Vettel, I loved how he interviewed. And so I kind of always had that respect level for Red Bull. And then Max comes along and is pissing everybody off for how he drives. But the talent, I mean, how do you not respect the talent of what even there in his rookie year? And now we've just been able to watch at least our generation's greatest F1 driver and, you know, up there in the conversations with the best of the best all time. Yeah. So it's, you know, I can't stand him at times. It was only a race ago that we wanted him off the grid. He's so annoying. But, you know, this kind of race is obviously, you know, just in his DNA. He's just insane.
And just the view of what the potential for the Drivers' Championship swung so much from the start of the race to the finish of the race, right?
I mean, Jason, we needed a wellness check on you, I think, from it was like, it's all coming to Lando, grid penalty points on Max, Lando's at the front, you know, let me start adding up the points in my head, Drivers' Championship. I mean,
it's like 25 point swing coming up.
Yeah. It's over though, right?
It's over.
Guys, it's over.
I mean, 62 not points. Officially, but it's
62
over.
Points the lead now. So
unless Max crashes twice in the last three races.
Max has to crash out of every race, and Lando has to finish at least second, 20, pretty much, right?
But Max wins a race, and
it's over.
It's done, right? Like, it's just that could he clinch in Vegas just by winning?
I think it is possible for him to clinch, depending on where what Lando does.
Or Lando and Leclerc or whatever.
Well, because there were 25 points, 26 points per Grand Prix, and 8 for the sprint, right?
Right.
So,
one more sprint, two more.
There's one more in Qatar.
One more.
In Qatar, right.
Yeah. So, what's that? That leaves...
So there's like 82 points available or something.
That leaves 60 points available after Vegas.
Yeah. So
Yeah. I mean, it's over. The momentum was so on McLaren's side for so long that we're lucky to have had such a ending to the season, because it shouldn't have been this way. And only because of their unbelievable engineers making insane upgrades after insane upgrades were we even able to get a good season like this. So, you know, I know, Jason, it's hard to, you know, swallow that pill, but they have made, think about where they were back in February. They were terrible. So
there's still lots to, I mean, by this point last year, it was all over. We were just like working out how many records are going to be broken or whatever. Yeah. So,
I mean, we were saying that 7 races into this season.
Yes, true.
Right.
Yeah. And it all flipped
I thought that this season was going to be worse than last season, just from a, you know, inevitability perspective. But, you know, come, what was it, like race 8?
Nobody was challenging them in the beginning, right? At least last year, Aston was like, oh man, Aston's gonna battle them. But
I think Monaco was the first race, right? Charles won.
And that's where they Max was into
Max won in Spain, but that was his last race win.
Exactly. So let's you know, enjoy the rest of the season, see how it plays out.
It's not technically over.
Yeah, and Red Bull's probably not going to win the Constructors, which is, you know, an interesting one, you know, for the Drivers' Championship not to be the same as the Constructor. But, and it bodes well for next year, right?
Yeah, and will they finish in third in the Constructors' Championship?
Yeah, I mean, that's where they are right now.
Would be
Checo's doing nothing. It's like one man fighting the rest, right? What's Checo contributing?
Which, you know, for Carlos's crash, that's a pretty bad crash to not get those points for Ferrari.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, for winners, obviously Max and Alpine, we've talked a bunch about them, but RB as well, getting both of the cars in the points.
Yeah, I mean, Yuki qualifying third. That was awesome, Yuki. You know, when he kind of pulled into the Parc Fermé after qualifying, and he runs over to his mechanics, and you see how tight he is as he's kind of leaping into their arms.
like the kids done at school for the day, running up to the parents.
Oh my god, Jesus.
So adorable.
But Yuki drove incredibly well. He was one of the people that didn't benefit from what happened with the red flag and the safety car. But he was driving really well in P3.
Yeah, he was keeping those guys behind him and doing what he needed to. And we see the rain came and it changed a lot of things. But, you know, finishing what, 7th, and with Liam in 9th, despite Liam kind of having a couple of moments during the course of the race, being, you know, relatively inexperienced, coming off the track a couple of times. Great weekend for them. Really great.
Yeah. Before we get to the fourth newly added winner of the weekend, the losers, obviously, unfortunately, McLaren is definitely part of that. Really, really disappointing. Williams, who just had, I mean, we've spoken a lot about Williams.
Brutal.
But just an awful, awful weekend. 3 crashes, no points. Brutal from them. And then Aston Martin, Lance crashing out on the formation lap. Alonso, the second to last car to finish the race. So
maybe on Mercedes. Gone. Sorry.
I was going to say, we didn't even talk about the fact that that Stroll wouldn't have been out of the race if he hadn't driven into the sand like a fool.
That's true.
He could have driven around it. It looked right.
Or
it
just was a run. It was a spun road around to the right.
Yes,
but I've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. You're low in the cockpit. I don't know.
He just wanted to go home. It was cold. It was wet. His fingers were cold.
I don't like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know his seat's not in danger.
But the crowd was chanting Drugovich at him when he was stuck in the sand in the gravel. Felipe Drugovic, the Brazilian driver, being the reserve driver for Aston Martin. But you're saying about Fernando, you saw him getting out the car, right?
Oh, he was just looked like a broken man, didn't he? Like, I mean, it's hard to tell because they're wearing helmets, so that's how they have to talk. But it looked like it was just like a long embrace between him and the engineer as he got out. But maybe they were talking because that's how you have to communicate through the helmet. But it just looked like he was just, oh, could barely stand. He'd just given his all.
Yeah. You know? To the losers, I'd add Mercedes. Bad decision making from you know, listen to your driver. And obviously that
Hamilton just
maybe lost him, lost George the win potentially. And
yeah,
with Lewis, I don't know what Lewis's car was. He was saying it was undrivable. He couldn't do anything. I'd also add Lewis to the winner's column because he got to drive Senna's car around Interlagos. That's the one that Senna crashed into Prost in Suzuka in
to win the championship,
I guess.
So they fixed it since then.
But it's like Senna's seat. They've not changed the seat. It's, you know, Senna's seat, the original engine, like fully
still
original.
Has his original P in it.
I was kind of upset that Lewis didn't use a Senna helmet. I mean, he used like his own branded. I mean,
he had like his own Senna. He had his own Senna helmet that he was wearing.
Why didn't he just make it yellow like Senna's helmet? You know, it would have been great. But it was still awesome. You could tell how much it meant to Lewis to drive in that car. And he has a really good relationship with the Senna family, right? Like whenever they do some sort of honoring of Senna at the Brazilian Grand Prix, it's like they always choose Lewis to be the one to do that kind of stuff. So. But yeah, that was very cool. And then Martin, Coops
F1. Yeah, I mean, obviously, terrible scores all round on Coops F1. Yeah. Only one out of all the predictions, only one person, 3 is the magic number, cracked 200 points.
Wow.
218. And then a few other guys coming in the high 100s.
Yeah.
I made the front page as well, but as a big loser, I dropped 17 spots.
Oh no.
And Jay Lazic up 11 spots. And that's all about all we have to talk about, isn't it?
Yeah.
And all right, thanks everybody for listening.
I mean, technically, I guess it's alphabetical. So Coops F1
what is the tiebreaker?
Coops F1 is giving a little bit of a help to Prancing to First, who is joint first now with Art Heatley. He's closed the gap. He's erased the 100-plus point gap.
2 weeks. 2 weeks, 100 points.
Wow. But there's still 3 races to go. I mean, Art Heatley had a bit of a nightmare. 70 points, I think, they picked up, which is pretty disastrous. But solid from Prancing to First to take over the lead. So
I got 69 points, so there you go.
Yeah, exactly. It was brutal out there this week, guys. Yeah. It was brutal. But between those two for the championship, maybe. I mean,
it doesn't look like would imagine either one of us are going to finish 1-2. Basically,
189 points in it.
Yeah, there's nearly 200 points. Yeah, back to third. So all to play for. We got just over 2 weeks till Vegas.
And no chance of rain in Vegas or in Qatar or in Abu Dhabi to kind of spice things up. So I think that those three should be a little bit more predictable in terms of who's
just
where.
Flying manhole covers. I don't know. Sandstorms on the track.
And Williams to crash and ruin it.
Missile attack.
Everybody.
And terrible race start time coming up. Ugh.
Oh, the Las Vegas one?
Yeah.
I'll be watching it in the morning.
Is it 12 midnight, East Coast time?
12:30. I think quali's at 12. The race starts at 12:30. Something like that. But
right. So European, it's like for the Europeans, it's breakfast in Vegas.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Sao Paulo Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen, and join us next time for our review of the 2024 Las Vegas Grand Prix. See see you then.